And welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to find the answer to the question, are body piercings okay for a Christian? Please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled this coming week and next Sunday. There will be a youth Bible study on Friday, July 27th at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. at the Tomlinson residence. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 22, verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 50, Fairest Lord Jesus. Continue our worship now with hymn number 468, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. I Surrender All.
Holy, be thou thy surrender, Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, David, pray, and he said, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. And we praise you because you have created in our heart a fear of a mighty God. A God who protects us, a God who blesses us, and a God who disciplines us till we come to the image of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being our Lord. As a church body, Father, we worship again. This is a new Sunday where we open the doors of our sanctuary and open the doors of the heavenly sanctuary on the skyway, and people can listen over the internet, over the radio. And thank you, Father, for these new ways of communication where your word can go around and around so that people can listen and turn to you and receive mercy and grace. Lord, we pray for our congregation, for Loretta Forrest as she remains in bed, Dana Nuriel, who is at home, Anne Peretto, Donald McDowell, Raquel, my wife, Miriam, my daughter, who have experienced a very bad asthma attack yesterday due to food condition, and we pray that she be stable. Lord, thank you for blessing Miriam's husband, Chuck, and giving him the strength to come up again after the treatment. And we pray for Mildred that she may endure the treatment and become victorious at the end. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray for one another without fear because you ask us to pray. Lord, thank you again for our missionaries, for Fred and Carol Lewis in Los Angeles, Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain, David and Denise Rode, now in California and in the deputation, Giovanni and Barbara Bendaño in Guatemala, Martha Peretti in Argentina, Dante Maruja Rabines, it's a pleasure to have them back again with us this morning. Jose and Diane Avila, now in Costa Rica. And then locally for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center here in Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. And then for Daniel and Miriam Lessing, Danny in Ohio, and this weekend, ministering to the sport people. Thank you, Lord, that we not only minister the word here, but we care as you command us to care to the end of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you empower us to do this by changing our hearts, our mind, and make each one of us a child of the living God. Bless us this morning as we already have the pleasure to sing and praise you. Bless the choir that's going to bless us and challenge our life. And then, Lord, when the word of God is open, give me words of wisdom that people may receive it in their heart and go home with a treasure of thy word. Thank you for supporting the ministry, and thank you for the people who love you and gave the offering every Sunday so that we can keep on. And then thank you, Father, that these coming Wednesday we will sign and pay more than $1 million cash for the property just around the corner. Lord, we pray that when this property then is sold, we will be wise to use that money in the building of the new building for our church. But thank you, Lord, for those who have, for the saving that we have, and for those who came in our rescue and lend money and gave money so that we can have the completeness of our payment. Once again, Lord, we are not in a small church because you are here. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
In fact, we have less than that. We have about 13 Bibles ready for you guys. And my encouragement is that we all, in our own individual lives, try to distribute at least one Bible. We have, I think, about 100 people here. But every person here, I just want to encourage you to take a Bible and just put it in your car. Yesterday, I didn't have a Bible in my car, and I went to the recyclers, started talking to a guy, and eventually he starts talking about his need for Christ after, you know, talking about the gospel and talking about church. And he was telling me about how, you know what, I went to church once, and I didn't like this, and I didn't, there was this person and that person. I said, you know what, you may think of, you know, the people of God, and some people may have misrepresented God, but really, when you think of God, you should think of God. Not necessarily the people who misrepresented him. That's like thinking of, you know, your brothers or your uncle or whatever. When I'm trying to think about you, you're a lot, you know. So after that, he was interested, but I didn't have a Bible in my car. So you have no idea when God's going to just throw something, throw an opportunity, whether it be you giving your own testimony of why you believe and why you have hope, or he may even give you an opportunity when you can pray for someone or get a Bible to them. So be ready. Have this either in your car or in your house. You have no idea when God is going to use you. You have no idea what opportunities he has for this day today. So be ready. I don't want any Bibles over there by the end of the service, or else I'm going to get mad.
Thank you, Chris, for that evangelistic update. And thank you, choir, for the singing today. Indeed, Jesus is Lord of all. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Philippians. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 1280. We will be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father and our God, we thank you for the scriptures and for the gift of faith you have given us, so that we may know the truth which has set us free from the bondage of sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and thank you that we know him and that you have provided for our salvation through him. And we now can rest in your promises. We have no confidence in the flesh. We pray that we would always keep in mind that our Savior is also Lord and do the things which he has commanded. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him in his words as he brings from the scriptures the life-giving truths. Bless us who believe, here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, as we rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.
Before we look upon our study this morning, I just want to mention two things. In the church bulletin, you have two extra sermons, and this one is the last Sunday evening and this Sunday evening for you. We are engaged in a series on doctrines, what we believe, biblical foundation series. We talk about the Bible last Sunday. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about sin and salvation. Now, as I understand, these sermons go in the internet and the archive. And if you are not here, you can draw from there. Or if you want to, you can request a copy of them free of charge. Donations of $1,000 or more are always welcome. Also, I want to say thank you for those who collaborated. We have not sold this property yet. We have no one penny from this bought property. We are paying $1 million plus. I think it's $1,025,000 or $1,015,000 our Wednesday. And we have the money in our treasure. And some of the people in the church came to our rescue, and some donated, some lent it. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. And we will have the property in our pocket, God's willing, after Wednesday, when a sign and the escrow. And remember, the property is only 3 or 4 blocks from here, closer to a Starbucks, which is much better for many of us. And now, let's be serious about the Word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, open our mind, hearts, and will that we may understand your Word and cause us to follow your precepts that we may, with our walk of life, bring glory to your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our series of studies in the morning during this month of July is on a passage that our brother read, and actually on 4 words, on Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. The Bible starts saying there that I may know him. Somebody asked me the other day, are you sure who is him? And so I want to offer you the strength of the Bible. I could say to you, if you know Greek language, the antecedent pronoun, palo, has the same ending that a noun and the other, but that would be teaching you Greek, and that's not good. So I'm going to teach you with English, all right? Look in verse 7. Let's find out who him is talking about. And verse 7 said, but what things were gained to me, those I count less for Christ. See that word Christ? Ends in the same way, on the same genitive form of the word him. Verse 8, ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And I look in verse 9 again, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so, verse 10, rather than saying Christ, use the word him. But it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In grammar, this is called the antecedent form of a pronoun. And so now, clarifying that grammatical thing, let's go into the study. As I said, in the morning service, we took those words, that I may know him. And last Sunday, we talked about as my mediator, something between me and God, which makes possible my relationship with God. Now, in our second study, this is very strong and is very dramatic, because I would like to direct your thoughts to the Lordship of our Lord. And so our sermon will be in this way, that I may know him as my Lord. There's only one reference in the Bible. A man say it. A man that is not too much appreciated by a mistake on his names and so on. And it was one of his disciples. But the man say it. My Lord. And I want you to know this. And I want you to really go out today with the security that Jesus is my Lord. I want you. A sermon is not in the sense, quotation mark, evangelistic, but rather it is a sermon guided to the Christian. So that you stand in your Christian faith and you do not follow any man whatsoever. You follow the Lord. And I'm here to teach you the Lord. So that you every day get closer to Him. I'm going to do two things for you. First, I'm going to present the theological argument. And when we talk about theology, we talk about the Bible. I'm going to show you in the Bible how Christ is Lord. All right? And I'm going to use the book of Acts. The first 50 years, 60 years of history of the Christian church are in the book of Acts. And so I'm going to show you how the book of Acts portrayed Christ as Lord. And then I'm going to have, always I do this, the practical argument, which is any example in the Bible that somebody really submit to Christ as Lord, and if he or she did so, what happened to their life? And so I'm going to show you what happened to Moses, all right? Because Moses portrayed the Messiah and believed in his God. Later on then, as a practical application, when Moses accepted God as Lord, I want to show you four things he did in his life that should be seen in our lives too. First, the theological argument. All right? Turn your Bible to the book of Acts then in chapter 10, verse 36. And if you are using the Bible in the pew, it's page 1195. 1195. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. The theological argument. Let's see how the church of God saw, or the individuals of the church of God, saw Christ as Lord. The Bible says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And look at what the Bible says. He is Lord. Right? No. The Bible said, look at there. The Bible says He is Lord of all. In the original language, there is a self-pronoun. You don't have it in English or in any other language. And the translation should be this one that we're talking about. This one. He is Lord of all. It's called, you hear many pastors said, the emphatic language, so there will be no doubt about it. This one, He is Lord of all. Not Lord to be. He is Lord of all. So when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only you get a Savior, somebody who take away your sin. Remember John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who take away my sins. Or somebody who cover your sins. Or somebody who forgive your sins. Not only you get someone like this, but you also get a Lord who has the right to direct your life and lead you according to His will. That's against any American thought. That's what I think is very hard for the Americans, to make Jesus Christ as Lord. And I'm not discriminating because I'm from South America, from Italian blood, Spanish blood, and Arabian blood, and whatever blood the Lord gave me. But I tell you, it's very hard. Because with this business of democracy, you are entitled to do what you want. But when you come to the kingdom of God, not to the democratic government of God, then you have to do what God said. It's entirely different. Entirely different. That's why the Arabs will never understand democracy. They want a king who tells them what to do. Will never understand democracy. Now listen carefully. Lord of all. God give us a Savior and a Lord to direct your life and guide you to do His will. If you are a young boy or a young girl, you cannot get married with anybody unless it is in the will of God and according to God's will. And the first part of God's will is he must be a person who knows God. And it's very hard to find it because you cannot check the heart. But if you stay a little longer in dealing with a person, you know the heart. Those weapons that they are in 2 weeks or 3 weeks are very dangerous. But if you stay a little longer, you know the heart, because the heart's going to come up. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he in his heart. All right? So here's the first part of the theological argument. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. It's Lord of all. And it's easy to say it than to practice. It's Lord of your money. Whoop! Another American problem. I'm not against American, but I'll tell you like it is. The problem of people in America is their love for money. And there's nothing wrong to work and become rich. There's nothing wrong with that. It's to have that passion that the only thing you are in your life is money. That's the wrong thing. Remember what the Bible said? The root of all evil is no money, the love of money. And 1 Timothy 6:10. So it's going to get harder. So I hope you keep loving me. All right. Now go to Acts 11:17. Acts 11:17. So in the church of God, the church of God accepted Christ as Lord of all. There is no one thing the deacon board of this church cannot do anything they want to. They have to do what God said. The pastor of this church cannot do or preach what he wants to. He has to preach what God said. And what did God said? 2 Timothy 4:2. I still lay today in my ordination 37 years ago. Preach the word. Kerusanton logon. Preach the word, said Dr. Schaefer. Preach the word, he said to me. And I was kneeled down over there. I thought he was going to spank me. It's just amazing. It's because God say it. It's not because the professor in my seminary say it. It's because God say it. That's lordship. You love your wife, regardless if she cooked right enchiladas or not. You love your wife. Because why? Because God say it. Alright? And your wife has patience with your husband. Alright? Because God say it. And Titus too. And so on. Alright. Acts 11:17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles, who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Notice who says, here the church presented Christ as believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't come automatically to you. You have to believe that He is Lord of your life. There are some people in the Christendom, they're still fighting that. He can be Lord for what I like it, but not Lord for everything. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Church of God preached that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just getting a Savior, it's getting a Master and a Savior. And you need to believe in that. Move your Bible to Acts 15. I go through the whole book of Acts quickly. You don't have to be here for too long. Acts 15 now and verse 11. But we believe, said the Scripture, that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. In other words, Paul is presenting the argument, the Gentiles and the Jewish people, both of them, they're going to be saved in only one way, is through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you will hear all the time in the Scripture and in the church history from the year 0 to the year 100, you will hear that Jesus Christ was not just presented Jesus, he always was presented by the Apostle Paul as Lord Jesus Christ. So he was counted as Lord. He was counted a Lord, period. Was no doubt in the life of the church. Now, not only that, if you move your Bible now to Acts 15 and verse 26, then you find another aspect of the Lordship of Christ. Not only He's Lord of all, not only we need to believe in Him, not only He is presented as Lord. Look at here, Acts 15, 26. Men that have hazard or risk their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is follow us, Lord. The apostle is writing for those men that hazard, risk their life for the name of our Lord. And Paul was one of them. Is that right? That he doesn't matter where he was, in a synagogue or in any place, he will present the Lord Jesus Christ and nothing less. Alright, so he is followed as Lord. Alright, okay, go to Acts 15:31. Here is a classic example. He is proclaimed as Lord. When the question was asked the Apostle Paul, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be like you and your partner in this jail? What must I do? And the Apostle Paul says, and they said, believe in Jesus. Now look at what they said. Acts 15:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Notice he is proclaimed as Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christians on the first century, they were no fooling around. They were presenting Christ just like it is, Savior and Lord directly. They were not in business of gathering people like a social party or a political party. They were in business of proclaiming the message of God, and that you want to be saved, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that raises a lot of questions. Who is the Lord? Who is Jesus? Who is Christ? And you can explain that. All right? Christ is the Messiah. Jesus is the word for Joshua as the Savior. Lord, He directs your life. And I don't want to get into that business. If we present Christianity as it is, I wonder how many will pay attention to it. Only those who the Lord touches the heart. But Christianity is not an easy membership. So put my name over there and give an offering on Sunday and I'm a Christian. That's not Christianity. That is not Christianity. We belong to a church because you want to have a pastor who cares, a people who fellowship with you. But Christianity is when you understand in your heart, in your mind, who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And then when you're going to do something, you question, is this what the Lord wants for me? That's the hardest question you have. Girls and boys, when you're going to marry, before you marry, you pray together. And pray and ask the Lord openly. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord, is this boy with blue eyes and blonde hair and nice walk, is this what you want for me, Lord? Is this girl who walks and I go crazy, Lord, is this girl for me? I tell you exactly when I was maybe 12 or 13, already I was looking for girls, my mother had to. That's what's painting a lot. But when they wanted to find me, always was in the house of my neighbors because they have girls. All right. Now, you see, when you are young, you don't understand. Who? No one of us. Guys, I'm not against you. I don't understand. Nobody. That's why we have parents. An adult and a church and elders who will counsel you and tell you what the Lord said. So, Acts 20, 21 now, please. Acts 20, 21. Look at what they said. Testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greeks, that means the Gentiles, repentance toward God and faith Tor, who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is set forth as the object of our faith. You don't only believe in Jesus, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a cheap thing. It's a package. And when God saved you, He not just set you free from the condemnation in hell, He gives you direction for this life. And He molds you in the image of Christ. So he is set as the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I go to the very end of the book of Acts, chapter 28 and verse 31. And look at what the scripture says there. And this is the Apostle Paul and his own rented house in Rome. And look at what he says. The scripture talking about the Apostle Paul says, preaching the kingdom of God. Kingdom, the word kingdom means dominion, means rule. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Teaching those things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no man forbid him. What a last moment of the life of the Apostle Paul. Right there in Rome, in the crown of civilization, he has a house, and he can preach the Lord Jesus until the end. So the message in Acts 28 and in verse 31 is this. He is taught as Lord. He is taught as Lord. He was preaching, said the scripture, the kingdom of God, and the things concern, said the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ. How in Christianity we are one because our Lord is the unity of our life. Lord Jesus Christ. So it is obvious, the theological argument teaches that you cannot separate Jesus Christ from the word Lord. That's what my objective was. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from the word Lord. They go together. I have great conversations with my contractor. Great talks. From time to time, out of the blue, he comes with a question. And the question was, can we worship on Saturday or Sunday, he said. Because I just like to go, and because he wanted to send somebody today to my house to work. But why? Why? Why I cannot work on Sunday? Like in defiance of God's law. And I don't think he understands Christianity. I never can tell people you are a believer, you are not a believer. For me, I'm no God, I'm no judge. But what he said and what he does, he likes Christianity, but he doesn't understand. This is what God said. I said, you want me to sit down in the scripture? And then you work overtime without getting overtime? And I tell you exactly what the scripture said about why we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday. But, I go to church anyway. See, people have no idea of the commands of God and the obedience to God, because in America we're free. Can we do what we want? No. But you are a Christian, you can't. You have to do what God said. And that's what upset people, until you understand that this is good for you. God's not doing this just to condemn you, but just to get through you. All right? You cannot separate Jesus Christ from Lord. You can say, I'm a Christian. Then you are saying, I cannot do anything I want to. I only can do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded me through His Word. Not through my Word as a pastor, but through God's Word in the Bible. Alright. Is anybody did it? Yes. Is what He did actually beneficial to us? Yes. Alright. Now move your Bible to the book of Hebrews now, please. 13:12 is the page in the view. Hebrews 11. I'd like to show you by looking a portion of the scripture in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, where Moses' life is put on the screen for our example. Little details of Moses' life is flashed in the screen for our understanding. Look with me then, how did Moses put this doctrine of the Lordship of Christ in practice as he understood that God and his Messiah were one and cannot be separated? He used four verbs. The Bible used four verbs in Hebrews 11. The first one is in 11:24. He used four verbs to do. As you remember, Moses was grow up in the king's house. He has a PhD and engineering degree. Moses was the highest of the highest of the highest in the level of education. And he was trained to be Pharaoh. And now the Bible revealed to us the behind the scenes story in Hebrew of Moses' life, how he understood God. Look at here. Hebrews 11:24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years of the King James, growing up, did refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be in the royal family. He refused to be unidentified Jew. He was a Jew, and he refused not to say, for convenience, I become part of the Egyptian kingdom. He refused that. Totally. He refused this. He wants to be what he is, regardless of the position he was. If you put one hand here and go to John Gospel, the prayer of the Lord in chapter 17 of John Gospel, page 1173, you understand what he did. He refused to be part of the royal family. John 17, verse 15 and 16 explain this very well. I pray, said Jesus, not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In other words, Moses knew who he was. He was a member of God's kingdom, and he cannot resign to be a member of God's kingdom and become a member of the world's kingdom. He refused. He said, I care less about the honor and the glory of this world if I have to sell my convictions as a believer. It's very hard for the senators and for the elected to be president to have that kind of thing. You notice in the debate, I just flashed a question. Said, what do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to look in the computer to see what their answer is. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? To these, all these candidates. All right? Let's see if there's someone who says something that give me a light on it to see his convictions. And you cannot mix it. You cannot mix it. And so Moses said, I had no part of the political arena. I had no part of this world. In other words, he's saying, I will not be a part of the world system if that involves compromising my beliefs. Boy, that's the Lordship of Christ. Alright? Now go to Hebrews verse 25 now. I always call this psychological principle decision determines direction and direction determines destiny. Now remember that, boys and girls. Decision determines direction. And the direction you go determines the destiny. Look at verse 25. Choosing or having choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. It's a matter of personal commitment. The Bible's clear. He chose, having chose, okay, it's going to be hard to be a Hebrew. It's going to be hard to be part of the slave people. But I'd rather be in a slave people and not mess around with the sin of this world for a season. Now that's what the Lordship of Christ does in here. When you set the Lord Jesus, see, there is no rules in the church that you wear a shirt, you wear a tie, there is no rules in the church like that. The rules are in the heart. in the heart. And who the Lord Jesus is in your heart reflects your personality and reflects your actions. And this young man said, I'd rather be a Hebrew and suffer the consequences than be a political arena and enjoy the world for a season. You got it? He's looking for everlasting life, all right? Okay, let's go to the next verse, verse 26. Esteeming or having reckoned the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the wealth of the treasures of Egypt. Do you see that? He evaluated. He refused to be one of the crowd. He chose his destiny. And he evaluate the real values. I want you to see it. He refused to be part of the world system. He chose his destiny. He said, I be with God's people. You choose your destiny. And then you evaluate what is real. He said, the money in Egypt is nothing to compare to my God. Tremendous. One more. Oh, a commentary of this, by the way, a commentary of that verse is in Matthew. Well, we can do it. Matthew 6. We'll go to Matthew 6, verse 19, page 1043. Matthew 6 is a commentary of that verse 26. Matthew 6, 19 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where these break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where these do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. You see it? Be also. So that's a commentary on the actions of Moses. He refused to be part of the system, and he said, you keep your money. He said, I keep my God. Isn't that something? Right? Let's go back to Hebrews now, 11, and verse 27. He learned. He learned something. Look at what he learned. The Bible says, in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing the one who is invisible. Amazing. When you take the theology, the lordship of Christ, doesn't make any, you know, theology. It's in your mind. But when you get that theology of your mind in practice, that force you to do something so that we can see who is your Lord. He refused to be part of the political system. He chose his destiny. He's going to be with the people of God. Remember, this man was God's choice. Moses was God's choice. God has elected Moses to be his child. And so he now showing to us that he's God's child. He evaluate where the real values is. Evaluate, put in consideration, this is good, this is not. God is always good. My friends, don't ever compromise your values. You go wrong. And then he learned. By faith he forsook Egypt. You notice that each time the verses are by faith, was not forcible, was not something that his mother taught. His mother taught the Hebrew theology. But God creates in you faith, and you need to practice that faith. That's the lack that I see in the church of God today. We have the churches packed, but they lack the practice of that faith very often. Now, as a conclusion, I'm going to go to a place where that word, my Lord, is used. It's in the Gospel of John. In chapter 20, verse 28, page 1178, Gospel of John, chapter 20, in verse 28. The man's name is Thomas. We call Thomas the timid. But according to this statement, there is nothing timid in the personality of this man. It's in page 1178. And Thomas answered after he saw the Lord. He said, and Thomas answered and said to him, what did he say? My Lord and my God. He has some doubt. No, don't we all have doubts? I talk to people and they have doubt. Hey, there's nothing wrong to have doubt. John the Baptist has doubt. Remember Matthew 14? He sent messengers to Jesus and said, hey, are you the one to come? There are sometimes vacuums in our life and we need some answers. And Thomas had some questions. When they told him, do you believe the resurrection? Very hard. They told Thomas, Thomas, Jesus resurrected. You people have been drinking Hebrew wine too long. You know, who knows? And he laughed about it. Oh, unless I see it. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the mercy of God. Many times we do the same thing. Oh, I don't believe it. Unless I see it. And by God's mercy, today, when we read the Word of God, we see it. Then the Lord appeared. He said, Thomas, you don't know where to be. So when he said, my Lord and my God. He did not say, my God. He said, my Lord and my God. I wonder if we have said that in our heart. After this study, I nailed down in my home office and I said, my Lord and my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, cause us to humble and surrender to the Lordship of Christ in our life. Cause us to realize that we must be in control of our spirit, soul, and body, and give that control to the honor and glory of God through Christ. Help me, O God, and help your people to be under the Lordship of Christ in whatever capacity and function of life we are. Oh God, we need that exhibit number one of the Lordship of Christ in the hearts of everyone. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Sunset on the day that Jesus died and felt the glow of the sunrise when the tomb was open wide. Would I have known you? Could I that you were more than just a man? You were Lord and King,
Thank you, Mission Oriel. Let us stand for the benediction. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, for your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.